good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 5th November 2024, Tuesday class. So as usual, we will be continuing our sharing from this book, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at page, mine is based on the old book,
187.
But your new book is 187, I think. Okay. As usual, let us gather and have the Bhiska Puja. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Milo Pho. Namo Milo Pho. Namo Milo Pho. Namo Yao Si Pho. Namo Yao Si Pho. Namo Yao Si Pho. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Dijang Pusa. Namo Dijang Pusa. Namo Dijang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahaṃ sammāsambuddho bhagavā. Buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādhemi. Suvakkhato bhagavato dhammo dhammaṃ vassami. Suppatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sangham namami. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Paṇatipāta veeramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Adina dana ve ramani sikha padam samadhiyami. Kame su vichachara ve ramani sikha padam samadhiyami. Usavada ve ramani sikha padam samadhiyami. Sura miraya bhaja pamadakana veramani sikha padam samadhiyami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then page 3 of the chanting book, we shall continue our chanting from Padipa Puja onwards. Ganna salapa ditena Dikena tamadang sina diloka dipang sambudang ujayami tamonodang ganda sambungayutena dopena kang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang pang puja bajana motamang Wanda ganda kuno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarolohe pujemi bedang kusumena nena punena metena cehotu mukhang Upang milayati yata idang mi kayo tatayati binasa bawang adiwase tunyo bante paniyang parika itang anukampang upadaya hatikan hatumu tamang Adiwase tuno bante pale parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mojaman Adiwase tuno bante bojanang parika pitang anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mojaman. Now we will chant the Buddha inspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these Buddha offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the need of clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses of the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until we become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Vijay. Buddham Pujayami. Dhammam Pujayami. สังหารวิเชษโอเค you all can be seated decision we are off the line so that you all can have your half an hour of awareness space meditating just relax maintain awareness and stabilize the awareness and the last support is trust your nature to do it. So the first three support is to allow us to stabilize our inner awareness by just relaxing, maintaining awareness. We don't think. That's why we try to develop the ability to be silent, to just allow the awareness to be. When you relax body and mind completely, you are not thinking. You just let things be. Everything, whatever arises, let it be. As a human being, we have our physical senses within our physical body. Then there is a consciousness trapped inside. Then upon contact of consciousness with the sense bases and the sense data, we will trigger the response, the related sense of consciousness or corresponding consciousness. So when this consciousness arises, like hearing or smell or taste or tactile or even the seeing or the thought, just the way finish. No need to continue with the thinking or allow the wrong thought to stir your mind or create reaction to sense experience. By doing that, the thought will not proliferate. The mundane thinking will slow down and it will stop by itself. So to be aware is not to think. And not to think is not to stir, not to react, not to be curious also. And when the spiritual faculties are in place, the mental hindrance is to be, let's say, spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya are very important. Sadha and virya we have developed through contemplating who the Buddha is and how unique a teaching he has realized and taught us. So after that, we need sati. That's why this awareness-based meditation is to help us to develop sati, to train our mind to be in that state of silence, silent inner awareness without thought. And when sati stabilizes, it will accumulate into a samadhi. And when the sadha, virya, sati, and samadhi is there, you can develop wisdom. Sati and samadhi will allow you to see things as they are, to insight into phenomena, to awaken to the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. And via that, you can develop the wisdom. That's how the five spiritual faculties fall into place. And when they are there, the mental hindrance is no more. Sensual desire, ill will, no more. Sloth and torpor, also no more. And restlessness of mind, also no more. That's why even the last mental hindrance or doubt, also no more. So without spiritual faculty, you need the four support to help you. Yeah. But with the spiritual faculty, it's a lot easier. Okay, so with that, I will set the alarm for 30 minutes so that you all can develop the awareness-based meditation on your own and just relax, maintain awareness, and stabilize the inner awareness. And for those who are already able to have the inner awareness developed, stabilized, you can go to the fourth support. The fourth support is just silent everything and stay at the heart area. And whatever that your awareness can detect, whether it's the heartbeat or any vibration around your heart area, silent everything and stay with it. Let the awareness and the movement or vibration move as one. Even the heartbeat, be aware of it, just silent, be with it. When you are silent and let the awareness stay, then it will create the what they call synchrony. You will develop the awareness of whatever movement or vibration. Then the awareness and the kaya activity move as one. That is how you develop the stability of mindfulness. So just stay there and don't do anything. Where the doing is always by the thought or the thought process, the thought that wants to do, wants to know, all this will create active thinking. When thinking is active, you cannot develop awareness. Just mind can only do one thing at a time. Either you are aware within, without thought, or you are lost in thought. So always remember that to be in a state of without thought, you need to just let things be. Whatever arise, aware, finish. Aware, finish. And let the awareness detect whatever vibration or movement or even heartbeat at the heart area. Then let it move. Let it create activity and movement. As long as the deep is there, let it be. Then all this movement or vibration, they will slow down. Slow down until it become like very subtle, very quiet and very still. Then suddenly you will realize a state of mind that is completely still, like no more thought, no more movement, no more activity of mind. That is your true mind. So you're supposed to stabilize that. And that one can meditate on its own, can develop the understanding on its own. Okay, now I will let you meditate on your own. You all can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, now your turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samantaho Chiokawalisu Atrahagachantu Devata Saddhamang Munirajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhammasvanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhammasvanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhammasvanankalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa 那摩达斯巴嘎瓦多阿拉哈多萨玛萨布达斯，那摩达斯巴嘎瓦多阿拉哈多萨玛萨布达斯，伊帝贝娑巴嘎瓦阿拉哈萨玛萨布多。Vi ca carana sampanno sukato loka vidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusana buddho bhagavati swakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opanaiko paciatang veditabo inuhiti supatipanno bhagavato saukkasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato saukkasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato saukkasango Samicchipatipanno bhagavato saukkasango Yadidam chatari purisayukkani Atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato saukkasango ahuneyo pahuneyo jakkhineyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyang khetang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, so now we will continue from where we stop. Okay. At this part. Further, each is covered with a canopy. Before that, sorry, I read the sentence before, surrounded on four sides by hanging bells, is an analogy for the four types of unobstructed eloquence which we have completed. Then the Buddha continue. Shenhua continue with his commentary here. He said further, each is covered with a canopy. Canopy makes of beautiful silk and satin are draped over the carts. Canopy is an analogy for the Buddha's four infinite mind states, the four Brahmavihara. They are the infinite loving kindness, which is metta, followed by compassion, karuna, then sympathetic joy, mudita. And finally, it was upekkha, equanimity. Loving kindness is the mindset of wanting to make all living beings having well-being and happiness. Compassion motivates one to relieve living beings' suffering. Then the sympathetic joy is Sorry, sympathetic joy here refers to the joy experienced in teaching and inspiring living beings. So when we rejoice, this mudita will arise. And finally, equanimity is to allow us to give away what one has to the impoverished. So this is the explanation by Shenhua. But equanimity in the Theravada tradition, the meaning of upekkha is to have an equanimous mind, a mind that has no duality, that does not discriminate. So this equanimity can only arise when there is wisdom. This is the last of the seven factors of enlightenment, equanimity, or we call the Pali word is just as I mentioned, I forgot already. Upekkha, yes, upekkha. So this upekkha is born of wisdom. The upekkha that is not born of wisdom can arise due to energy field or what we call concentration, samatha meditation. So when the mind develop a strong energy field or what we call a conditioned state, then that conditioned state is so calm, so still that nothing can affect it. All the defilements are all suppressed. Even the mental hindrance, they are all suppressed. That's why they cannot be disturbed. But that type of equanimity is not born of wisdom. So when you lose the ability to be in that state of energy field or jhana or concentration or absorption, then without that wisdom, that mind that loses the ability to be in that state of equanimity born of a conditioned mind cannot actually maintain the equanimity. That's why the upekkha or equanimity factor of enlightenment must have wisdom. Okay, we go back to the notes. Okay. Then I read on. The Buddha has exemplary virtuous conduct because he has infinite loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity. So this is a mind that has virtuous conduct. When you are very virtuous, means you have these four Brahmavihara mind state, otherwise they cannot arise. Then of all the virtuous practice, loving kindness or metta and karuna are the highest and the greatest. That's why we always talk about the great loving kindness and compassion of Guan Yin Bodhisattva. Da Zi Da Bei, Guan Si Bodhisattva. So this metta and karuna are the highest and the greatest because they can protect all living beings. According to the sutta, metta and karuna were replete with the 10 powers. And the four kind of fearlessness are the kindness or loving kindness and compassion of the Tathagata. The Buddha has boundless and infinite loving kindness and compassion, including sympathetic joy, which is mudita, and upekkha or equanimity. So here, covered with a canopy, represent the Buddha's four infinite states of mind or the Brahmavihara mind state. By cultivating these four infinite states of mind, the Buddha perfected his pure conduct. Each cup is decorated with various rare and precious treasure. So according to the sutta, this part decorated with various rare and precious treasure, it denotes or represent the cultivation of the mind right practices needed to perfect the four Brahmaviharas mind states. The various rare and precious treasure represent the mind right practices. Just as the various jewel adorn and beautify each card, the six perfection or parameters, and the mind-right practices. That is all of the Dhammadhamma, adorn the great vehicle or supreme vehicle. One must perfect them to realize the splendor of the great supreme vehicle Dhamma. Then the sutta continues, and each card is also strung with jewel cords. This line is also an analogy. The precious jewel cord represent the four great vows of the bodhisattvas. So these four great vows, like we all who walk the bodhisattva way or have taken the bodhisattva way or vows, we will be able to understand. So the first vow is living beings are boundless. This nature of mind vow to save them all and take them all across. Then the second basic vow is afflictions or suffering are boundless or endless. This nature of mind vow to endure and severe them all. Then the third basic vow is Dhamma doors are countless. This nature of mind vow to cultivate and learn and perfect them all. Then the fourth and final basic vow is Buddhahood is unsurpassed. This nature of mind vow to realize it means perfect the perfection of the 10 perfection to realize Sammasambuddhahood. But the four last vow are not something simple to be recited. You must actually put them into practice. That's why cultivation is very important. You personally must do all you can to fulfill this vow. If you just recite them, it's of no use. You must return the light and reflect within, asking yourself about each of the vows. Living beings are boundless. This nature of mind vows to save them all and bring them all across to the other shore, which is Nibbana. You may reflect, have I saved any? If I have, I'm on the Bodhisattva path. If not, I should start saving them. However, when you save living being, you must not become attached to it. Don't think I have saved this living being and that one too. Do not get attached to such notion or idea. In transcending all characteristics, one become identicals with all phenomena. So this one is Xianhua's way of explaining. The one that I have taught you all is better. You see, this first basic vow is to enable us to come back as a bodhisattva, to continue with our training, with our cultivation and perfection. Because the first basic vow, this nature of mind vow to take across all living beings, the limitless living beings throughout the entire existence. This one, you need love and compassion. Out of love and compassion, you develop this vow. And this vow is very important because it will enable us to come back as a bodhisattva. Otherwise, when you realize arahantaship, you're no more ignorant. The form and mind, no more avijja. Technically, you cannot be reborn through avijja to come back to samsara, to continue with the so-called existence. But because the Bodhisattva knew that you need a mind, even though it's without avijja, but if you have a pure mind out of love and compassion, that's why you make that first basic vow. So that love and compassion, which is the first two of the four Brahma Vihara state, that the Buddha actually perfected it too, the metta and karuna. So out of love and compassion, you develop the vow to come back as a form and mind. That's why that one, although without avijja, can condition a rebirth consciousness, which is pure, pure love and compassion. And the reason being, we have the karmic nature. The karmic nature is still there. Yeah. Except you don't have avijja anymore after you realize anandashi. So the only way to come back is to develop this love and compassion. Yeah. So out of love and compassion, you determine. That's why that one is a very powerful one. Okay, Jin Hao, go back to the notes. Just now. Okay. So this love and compassion is very important. Then Shenhua also say, when you save living being, don't have the idea that you really save or how many you save. Because as we all know, when you develop the profound prajna cultivation, especially when you penetrate through emptiness, you realize the hallmark of winning of no mark. No mark of a self cultivating, no mark of others, and no mark of existence, Dhamma, everything. So all this you will understand. Living beings may be limitless, but they pertain to the conditional. Within the unconditioned, there is no human being. There is no living being. That's why there is no old age, sickness and death. No birth, etc. Even the Four Noble Truths. Because all these are conditioned dhamma that pertains to the existential world. So this way of understanding it is more profound and more appropriate. Okay? And I will read on the next one. Afflictions are endless. This nature of my vow to cut them off or sever them all. Actually, you should put in the word vow to endure and sever them all. There are certain type of affliction you need to endure. You have to endure. Then those that can be abundant or severe, you need to have wisdom. Because like when your physical form experiences something, there is a reality. Before you have medical attention or whatever that can help you recover, you need to endure. Otherwise, you will suffer. So, endure is very important. Ability to endure and abandon or severe or cut off. Then, here Shenhua explained it his way. He said, ask yourself every day, have I fulfilled this vow to cut off all afflictions? If not, I must try harder. Unless you sever your affliction, you will never be free of them. So a better way to actually understand it is you ask yourself, how can you abandon affliction or sever or endure affliction? You need wisdom, isn't it? That's why the second basic vow is actually related to the third basic vow, to perfect all the cultivation of wisdom that lead to your ability to actually renounce everything. That's why that one is to cultivate renunciation. That's why the four basic vow, as I explained before in the blue book, cultivating the Bodhisattva way. The first basic vow is to cultivate love and compassion, and metta, karuna. Then the second one is to cultivate the perfection of wisdom. Because without wisdom, you cannot endure and abandon or severe or suffering. So cultivating wisdom is very important. Then when you have wisdom already, you can renounce everything. That's why the perfection of renunciation is the second basic law. So when you can renounce everything, means you will not attach, you will not cling. Nothing in this world can affect you anymore. That's why you can free from suffering. So this one, renunciation, is another perfection that can be cultivated through the second basic law. It's only when you can perfect renunciation, then you can actually develop the wisdom to endure and severe or suffering. Then I read on the next paragraph, Pres Shenhua explained further. How does one cut off affliction? It's not hard at all, according to Shenhua. It's not like you have to use a knife to cut them off. Simply realize that affliction itself is bodhi. And this is a skillful means or way of cultivation. Actually, they are duality that points towards the same understanding. Yes, you must realize that affliction itself is bodhi. That's why suffering is to be realized. When you can understand suffering, when you can realize what suffering is, then you develop bodhi. That's why under the second turning, this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. You must understand what is dukkha and the cause of its arising. Then how dukkha can cease, the cessation of dukkha, then the path that leads to that cessation. So all this need to be developed. So here, Shenhua's way is to apply the Dhamma, the skillful way that they are duality pointing towards the same reality. So affliction itself is bodhi. When you can develop the realization, then it is no more a problem because it is not apart from the Dhamma of duality. Then he gave analogy, he said, just like ice is water, and water is ice. Once you understand this principle, all you need to do is to melt the ice of your affliction into the wisdom water of Bodhi. And you will have severed those afflictions. So this one is materialistic analogy. The real analogy is wisdom. Only wisdom free, nothing else. Then Shenhua said, do not search for affliction apart from bodhi. Likewise, do not look for bodhi apart from affliction. They are one thing. If you know how to use it, it is bodhi. If you don't know how to use it, it is affliction. This is key. So it's just like what I have shared with you all. Whatever arises within the moment, at every moment of sense experience, if you do not perceive in negativity through delusion or wrong thought or wrong view, then there will be no suffering. It's only suffering when you perceive it with negativity. Everything is just the way it is, the way things are. Condition like that, things feel like that. That's why once you have the bodhi or the wisdom, then it can see things as they are. It can awaken, it can understand. Then nothing has power over you or can cause affliction within you. So this understanding is very important. So bodhi is the basis of understanding that leads to liberation of mind. So bodhi is wisdom. Wisdom free, nothing else. So always remember when you cultivate wisdom to develop the understanding, to liberate the mind, to transcend duality so that you are not caught in it. When you cannot attach and cling or deludedly grasp, then you don't stir your mind. Then you will never perceive anything with negativity. That's why you will be at peace. Then I read on, the next paragraph. Why do we say that living beings are Buddha and Buddha are simply living beings? Now this one is also a very good understanding. When you have saved all living beings, you are a Buddha. If you have not saved all living beings, then you are still a living being. Essentially, there is no difference between living beings and the Buddha. All you need to do is to awaken to it or wake up. And then you are a Buddha. When you are deluded, you are a living being. Do not search outside of yourself for living being to save. That's just seeking outwardly. When you have saved the living beings within your inherent nature, then you have saved all living beings. So that part, sorry, Jinhong, you bring down here. I just explained the final part. So this final part where Xianhua is trying to explain. In fact, in the early day, he always say this in Mandarin, I remember. 佛就是心, 心就是佛, 你无慧心就无慧佛. So actually, that sentence is very profound. He said, Buddha is mind. Mind is Buddha. In fact, the mind that has the wisdom connected with the perfection is Buddha. That's like 佛就是心, that special mind that has the embodiment of the 10 perfection and the wisdom, the Sammasambuddha's virtue and wisdom. Whereas if you don't have that, 心就是佛, 佛就是心, 心就是佛, then 你无慧心就无慧佛. So understanding that mind is very important. But then people don't understand. It is not that after you become the Buddha with that type of mind, you can still fall back to become a living being. No. It is that nature. The first thought of ignorance that stir and bring about the movement. That one is not something fault. It is due to condition arising phenomena. So this condition arising phenomena, the Buddha say, inconceivable is the first thought of ignorance that stir and created the karmic process and movement. The first thought of ignorance through that stirring. That's why from the primordial it come out. So that one become later, the living being, traveler in space and time. Then you need to understand the four circle formation to understand how it come out. and develop all those phenomena world of consciousness. So from the pure nature, the first thing to arise is the pure awareness nature. So this one is not defiled yet. Then the first thought of ignorance is the stirring from there due to external condition, the stirring from there. Then when that stirring from there, the first thought of ignorance, that condition or the subsequent, what they call movement and transformation leading to the coming process. Now that one take a long time until it develop into energy. Then you have the, what they call traveler in space and time. Then you have all the planets, the world system, the star system. All this, they are from energy. They become what they call trap energy. That's why form arises. So all this is how it can be understood. And then to return as living being after the karmic process become what it is, you need to meditate. You need to see the unreality of form, unreality of mind. Then see beyond form, see beyond mind. Then you return to the pure awareness nature. From there, you develop the direct seeing to awaken the perfection, the wisdom, the cultivation. Then until you realize initially the sainthood way leading to arahantship, then you take the bodhisattva way, then it can bring about the 10 perfection to realize the enlightenment. To become Samasambuddha. Okay, so now we go back. I think we finished this one. Okay. Okay. The sixth patriarch Dharma Jewel Platform Sutta say, I vow to save the beings within my inherent nature. Why doesn't it say I vow, or this nature of my vow to save the beings within others' inherent nature? It says inherent nature, because all living beings are one. There is no you or me or them. All are included within the inherent nature. That's why Huineng, when he received the mind-to-mind transmission from the fifth patriarch, he came to great awakening. That's why he expressed his amazing understanding. Is it how amazing that the inherent nature is complete by itself, and all Dhamma is never apart from the inherent nature? That is the meaning, that there is oneness nature. Then the next part is that I vow to severe. Or this nature of my vow to severe the limitless affliction within my inherent nature. You need to cut off the affliction in your inherent nature, not in someone else's nature. You can't say, hey, you have studied the Buddha Dharma for so long. How come you haven't severed your afflictions? If you have severed your own affliction, how could you see affliction in others? When you have severe affliction, then even when living beings have affliction, you do not see them as affliction. That is the way living beings are. Deluded people do deluded things. Ignorant people do ignorant things. If they were not like that, they would not be living beings. They cannot change their temperament. Living beings are just living beings. What about the Buddhas? He is just the way he is. He is just the Buddha. Ultimately, there is no difference, no real difference between the Buddha and living being. That's why four chooses sing, sing chooses four. But it is a matter of cultivation, as it is said. This saying is very good. Awaken, you are a Buddha. Confused, you are leaving me. There is no real difference between awakening and confusion either. If you are not confused, you are awakened. If you are not awakened, you are confused. It's just like the analogy of ice and water. Dhamma Dao are countless. This nature of my vow to perfect them all, or cultivate and perfect them all. There are innumerable Dhamma Dao. Ask yourself, have I studied them all? If your reply is, all I do is sleep all day, I don't do anything, then you have not studied them all. This one is by Shadow. You will reap no benefit if you do not study them. You have got to study. Buddhahood, the last of the four basic power, Buddhahood is unsurpassed. This nature of my vow to realize it, complete the training of the 10 perfection to realize Sammasambuddhahood. So the question and inquiry, have you completed the cultivation of the perfection to realize Sammasambuddhahood? If no, would you like to realize it? Well, you may say, let me think over it. If you think it over, you will have to wait another 3 great Asankhaya Kappas. If you don't think it over, you don't have to wait. Perhaps you can become a Sammasambuddha tomorrow because you don't need to think it over. You decide, I'm definitely going to be a Buddha. If you are determined to be a Buddha, you will become a Buddha. So all these are the understanding. Yeah? So he also quote this saying, which I also, when young, I like this saying. Where there is a will, there is a way. So this saying is very beautiful. When I was very young, I have it in my heart. Wherever there is a will, there is a way. So Buddhahood is there, waiting for you to realize it. If you do not want to become a Buddha or Sammasambuddha, no one will force you to become one. You yourself must want to cultivate and realize Buddhahood. If you haven't realized Buddhahood, which means you have got to cultivate. If you don't cultivate, you will never arrive at the realization of Buddhahood. Then the sutta continues. Each cut has jewel cord from which flower tassels hang down. The hanging flower tassels are an analogy of the four methods of attraction and the superpowers associated with them. The four methods which I Shenhua explained when lecturing the Surangama Sutta are giving, kind words, beneficial deeds, and adoption of the same aims. So giving here means dana parami. It is said, if you want to lead a living being to the Buddha's wisdom, first bait the hook with something they desire. If you want to lead living beings to develop the Buddha's wisdom, you must first determine what they like. Then you give it to them to lure them in and take them across. For example, people like money, so you give them some money first. That is practicing the giving of wealth, dana parami, materialistic giving. Then they will think, I'm short of money now. And he gave me some money. And they will be very happy. At that time, if you teach them some Dhamma, they will accept it. You practice the giving of wealth first, and the giving of Dhamma second. So this is Shenhua Sui. Yeah? Although the giving of Dhamma is foremost, if you start out by giving them the Dhamma, they may not like it and may refuse to listen to the Dhamma you teach. Therefore, you give them a little bit of money and then teach them the Dhamma. then they will be very happy and will think, wow, what this person say really makes a lot of sense. That is the giving of truth, giving of Dhamma. Then you give them fearlessness by telling them, don't worry about anything. Since you understand the Buddha Dhamma now, Buddha Dhamma now, everything is going to work out well. There is no need to be fearful anymore or to be afraid of anymore. There is a giving of fearlessness. Then second one is kind words. This refers to loving kindness, means metta, like that of parent for their children. Parents fear or worry about their children. That's why they go all out to protect them. They fear that their children will catch a cold or get too warm or be hungry or thirsty. They take good care of their children. The love of parents for their children is a kind of compassion. Children like to be loved. So their parents will say, I love you a lot. I am very fond of you. In cultivating the Buddha Dhamma, kind words are necessary. But they need not be romantic or affectionate. Kind words are simply words that people like to hear or listen to. Words that make them feel good, happy, joyful. When you speak kindly to them, living beings are attracted to you. So this one, kind and gentle speeches, they are part of Noble Eightfold Path. So both giving and the use of kind and gentle speeches or words will attract living beings to you. Then number three is beneficial deeds. This refers to doing all kinds of good deeds that benefit living beings. The adoption of the same aim. If you want to teach and transform living beings, you must be like them and become their friends. If they are entrepreneurs, you also go into business. If they are students, they should become a student. So in general, you do the same kind of work that they do and befriend them in the process. This is called adoption of the same aim. Eventually, you will inspire them to have faith in Buddhism or the Dhamma. And then you can guide them from confusion or delusion to awakening. Yeah. So this one, I think, is Shenhua's way. Huh? Yeah. But I look at it slightly differently because like Sakyamuni Buddha, their lineage is to have the Sangha. And that one, the sasana lasts the longest. Yeah? Because over many, many eons and eons of perfection and cultivation, they saw, they have clear-cut example of all the Sammasambuddha that they encounter and all the sasana. Yeah, once you become Sammasambuddha, you can trace back and you will know. That's why they feel that that way is very good. But like we understand, not everybody like to go that way. Vimala Kitty, he like to come as a lay person. So he doesn't really go that way. So to him, like he explained in his sutta, Vimala Kitty Sutta, as a lay person he come, he can mingle with anybody. That's why adaptation. He is even mentioned that he can visit the prostitute house and other things to actually transform those who are in that trade of or profession as prostitute. So all these are just the various skillful way or means. But more important is when you have the Dhamma, I realize your character actually reflect your nature. Yeah. If you don't have the Dhamma, you don't have that type of character or understanding, you cannot project that type of image. And you cannot do this type of work. To do this type of work, you need to have that wisdom, that understanding. That's why I remember when I came out to share, I have the three conditions is because to avoid unnecessary misunderstanding and all things. Then how I started was, like I explained to quite a number of kilometer. My nature like to come as a lay person. Yeah. Of course, it has gone through the Sangha era too. But then later on, you realize you come as a lay person. Yeah? You must have everything that you need. It's basic needs of self-sufficient. Like this nature of mind, this segmented life that my nature come. Basically, financially, everything I already have, that family, good, what they call harmony within the family circle, or relationship success, having like good friend and all those things, Dhamma friends and all things, even harmony within the own family, not only my family, my brother, sister, everything. So all these are the understanding. You have them, you reflect on you. And the way you actually approach this Dhamma sharing or work is very important. Like Shenhua, he used, Master Shenhua, he used to explain this. There are people ask him, he said, how do we know that which of these teachers are genuine? So he said, you have to observe them. You must have the understanding. You must see in them, do they have any greed? Do they have any selfishness? Are they motivated by intent? Means have ulterior motive and all those things. Then do they have this, what they call arrogance? Means they like they want to have fame, status, and all this thing. So when you see all this, then you have to be careful. And the poor and genuine one, they are really selfless. They teach and they share. They don't ask for anything. That's why when I started this my kilometer, I never intend to have any like organization where we have membership, collect membership fee or say then compulsory donation. No, I do away all those things. Well, for me, I believe I don't need all this. And volunteers will come when they see the sincerity and the genuine cause behind. Then all these volunteers, not only they volunteer to help out, they also can help you develop the collection of the Kalimita Fund. In fact, the Kalimita Fund, I never go and outside like my house and request. I never. These people come by themselves. After they come to know the activity, they actually willingly. Sometimes they contact Sui An direct, Stephanie direct. And who donate also, I don't know. Then of course some donation come through me, my wife, and people whom I know. Then I send it to Sui An and Stephanie. So it has been operating very well. That's why how you choose to come and develop this, what they call understanding to share the Dhamma, to actually propagate the teaching or transmit this teaching is up to the individual. That's why the Sangha way has its what they call benefits, significance, and it has been proven. But that one has its limitation too, because depend on the era and all those things. Then, like Vimalakirti, when I realized his one is really good, then I evolved my own. Then I choose this way. Informal group is up to the individual, no compulsion, nothing. You subscribe to the same what they call ideology, as Kayamitta, that walks the path of Dhamma to develop the wisdom, to liberate the mind so that you can be a blessing to all. It is what you can really appreciate, accept, and look forward to. Then you can become a Kayamitta. Then you don't have to have special qualification or what or education. No need. Any living being. So all this understanding is important. Okay, we go back to the note there at the end, really. Oh, actually, we just finished. Okay, we mark this page. Okay, this part, wait, I read a bit the adaptation there. When Bodhisattva teach living being, they will do whatever it takes and address every detail. They are more concerned for living being than parents are for their own children. This one is very true, very true. That's why for me, I remember in the early days, I always inquire this way: how can I develop the sharing so that the Kayamitta can understand and realize the teaching? Because unless you develop this inquiry and contemplate, it's not easy. But living beings are, like we came to know, they are very diverse. They have their individual karmic paths, karmic formation and all those things. And everyone is different. Their nature, their character, their karmic paths, their whatever conditioning, all are very different. So when we really want to teach or share this type of Dhamma, when I started, I thought, what you need, what living being need is the Dhamma, the teaching. So I started teaching that, but I realized hardly anybody can understand, less than 10%. Whoever who can understand 10% of what I share in theory is really very good. That's why later on I realized what they need is basic, essential Dhamma. That's why I reversed back the whole thing. I started teaching the Four Noble Truths is strengthening the provisional teaching, the essential Dhamma, until this one developed the stability. Then only the actual teaching slowly coming. So all this is very true. Okay, now we come back to the second session. So second session is you can either report your meditations or you can ask any Dhamma question regarding meditation or the Dhamma or today's topic. Then the third one is how to apply this teaching of the Buddha to help you understand life. So Dhamma in daily life is another topic where we can share. Okay, we open up.
Good evening,
Ah,
Volunteer
good
Mr. Chair
evening.
and
Good
all
evening.
Kalamitas.
Yeah.
I what to share?
You got any questions or want to report any meditation or share your experience in Dhamma in daily life?
I would only say, I think at least one a day I'll do puja. Probably one day if I'm too busy, I don't.
Okay. And what about the meditation part? Do you have anything to report?
Meditation, bro, too, sometimes much easier
Can
to.
you relax and settle down to develop the awareness, maintain awareness?
Not consistent, brother Teo.
It's okay. No need to be considered. Initially, you can just like stabilize it, try it out. Then later on, as you stabilize, you will become more and more like conversant in the training. Then you can actually develop it faster. Well, once you have gone through the training and the understanding, you realize it come by itself and the spiritual faculty help. Once you have the spiritual faculty, your daily mindfulness, you determine with a religious routine, then all this will speed up your understanding and transformation of your progress. Because you don't start somewhere, it will take you very long. Where you keep on like listening, listening, then you accumulate a lot of idea, knowledge, and what we call the contemplative Dhamma, which can help you a bit. But to progress, you really need to stabilize your daily mindfulness, your awareness. The awareness nature within you have to do it. So you have to try and determine.
Yeah, but too, actually, recently, just last week, I started to go back for my yoga class. So, today in the normally at the end of the class, the teacher will ask us to lie down to relax.
That is the best.
Yeah, bro.
And he asks you to relax, you really relax and go into the fourth support.
But
Our
yeah, so bro, too, this morning only it happened. I was so sad. Because coincidentally, I was very near to the teacher. So at the end, when the teacher want to maybe 5 minutes or what, or less than that, she wanted to wake us to finish the lesson. She point at me and say, "Look at her, me, I was on the floor on the mat. Look at her, she's not relaxed. Look, I can see from her shoulder. Oh,
This you
so."
can see, or you're not relaxed at all.
I was wearing a t-shirt with the a t-shirt with a sleeve, bro. So she just and see, she's not relaxed. I look at her what the shoulder, she said, look at her shoulder, I know already. So I was thinking, yeah, if she were to highlight to me when I was there, then I meaning I was sad because when I'm lying down there, to me I thought I'm relaxed. But actually I'm tense until I'm not aware I'm tense until
Yeah, you
at the
are
end of
tense
the
without
lesson,
you
she
being
pointed out.
aware. That's why
That
those
means,
yoga teachers, they teach all this, they will know whether you are relaxed or not. Because when you are not relaxed, you are very tense. When you are relaxed, you really are. Have you observed how the cat or the dog sleep, the small dog or the cat, how they sleep? They very relaxed or not? Oh,
open, bro, dear, they open
the
their
cat,
forearms on the floor.
even the cat, when they meow, they very relaxed or not? You look at them, very soothing. So you should develop. Well, when you know how to relax, you really know or not? Because after I develop the training, when I relax, I really totally relax, like a deep person, no? Like everything just through its natural gravity or weight, it just fall into place on everything. Every part is relaxed. Facial, whatever is relaxed. Sometimes it relax until the we call it our natural weight, will make it so relaxed, until every part like reach a natural state of equanimity, not equanimity of mind, like it find its own balance like that. But like everything is so relaxed, like all the muscle, everything fall into place until it becomes so quiet, so still, so relaxed, like no movement. Then the vibration all starts to pick up. You should go through it, I remember it's really like the cat, huh? When they are really lying down there, sleeping, relaxed. You can see one, oh, wow, really relaxed. And they really like have good life. But if you are like tense and like a lot of thought, you're not relaxing. Means a lot of tension, tightness. Means you don't know what relaxation is. To be relaxed is in harmony, you know, the whole body and mind, perfect harmony, no resistance, nothing. You know what is at ease, 自在.
Yeah,
when you can be very at ease, 自在, that is relaxed, really relaxed. Means like you are dead, everything just, you cannot react, cannot stir, cannot do anything. It's just like it's sink down. So beautiful. Then when you do anything, also say when you are relaxed, you are really relaxed. That's why sometimes I during the early days, I remember when I take my bath, I just very really relaxed. Then when the shower water flow through my physical body, the tactile sensation, you silence everything and allow it to flow. Your awareness already pick it up or not? Where everything just like naturally fall on your physical tactile sensation there. Then every drip of it later on, even you off the shower, that movement that touches your tactile, you feel it or not? And it's so clear, no? That it's like everything you pick up through the awareness, so beautiful. No? Normal people don't know. Normal people like you mandi kerbau, then after that you take a towel, you just clean up. No, that one, the whole of the movement of the water, everything, you feel it or not. Because your awareness is with the physical kaya. Then whatever that flow through that thing, you can detect it. And the awareness of it is very beautiful. That's why you must develop more and more inner awareness. Awareness of kaya, awareness of sensation, awareness of your mental activity and movement. Then relax into it. Relax means 自在, at ease, completely. Even you lie down on the chair or the bed or whatever, completely relax. The whole thing very relaxed. Then you go into the rest state very fast, especially the snoring. Then your awareness is there. You have to learn to relax. Your yoga teacher actually very good teach you how to relax. So now you understand you are not relaxed. Philip? You understand why you are not relaxed already?
Unaware of I was not relaxing.
That one is the first stage. Very elementary. When you are aware that you are not relaxed is the beginning. That's why the awareness of inattention is attention, understand? When you are aware that you are not attentive, means you are not mindful, you're lost in thought. That is the beginning. That moment you aware, that is attention itself. That is sati. But split second only. That's why you have to continue to relax and maintain the awareness. That's why maintaining awareness is not easy. Maintaining awareness is the skill to stabilize it. Whatever happened, like you are dead, aware, finish. Aware, finish. Then continuously aware, aware, aware. Then later on, in the midst of my daily life, it is like the awareness. I used to use the analogy like ta 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 ta. Means every moment of awareness like one sound like that. But you don't have to go blind. It is like aware, 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 aware. Everything is just aware, aware. Then at the heart, then. I remember in the early years, I did that. Then later on, the awareness came up. Then when the awareness came up, it makes you aware on your own or not. Well, I return to the heart until that nature that I open up. Then that nature there keep on becoming aware one of our inside. Keep on becoming aware. Then I like no need to do anything after that. So the training can be such that that time I haven't met my last guy. I just do my daily mindfulness. I don't know where the gateway is. That's why I cannot have a outlet to release it. But I develop until my awareness at the heart there are very strong until I have to slow down. At that time, I haven't met my last guy. So I don't know where the gateway is. So when I slow down that time, I remember I developed the relaxation. Then I went in. And then after that, within 2 weeks, the daily mindfulness came. Then I realized my mind enters sati. That's how I come to know. Then my anapanasati also same. Everything just went into sati when I stabilized it. And then after that, like throughout the day, I aware one of mindful one. That's why that one need to be trained. The mundane mind need to be trained. Learn how to relax. Learn how to maintain awareness. Very important. Then when you can do that, you will stabilize. Okay? Chipotle, I think that will help you. Then the religious routine, daily religious routine, that one also useful. Pay respect to Triple Gem. Then mindful when you bow. Then standing away, walking away, like daily mindfulness, very important. Whatever you do, cooking, washing, stretching, turning, answer nature, everything determined to be away. That one very important. Then when you wake up also aware. Every action, every moment in the present moment aware. You do that, you progress very fast.
Brother Teo, if let's say in our daily life in the house, you walk here, you do this,
yeah,
do that.
Yeah.
At my stage, if I were to aware, that is definitely it's not from my nature. It's like I purposely do it.
Initially, like, you have to use the thought. Initially,
yes,
everybody start with the thought first. That's why determined to be aware. That word determined to be aware
determined.
From the thought.
Yeah, but when you say determined, it's like 我真的是 就是 how to say I know it's not like Alicia, the type of awareness.
You
it's
don't
like
worry
my,
about that state because you haven't reached that state. Initially, you determined to be aware. Then you realize you can hardly be aware. Yeah? Split second, the thought come in already. You lost in thought already. Split second, lost in thought already. You don't believe, you go and find out. Everything you do, you think very easy to maintain awareness. When I started, I realized throughout the day, I hardly aware. You know? To develop continual 5 minutes of awareness, I cannot do it all that time. Then I determined to be aware, you know, until the center of my heart there. The awareness came out. Then when this awareness came out, that's why I say, I start to understand, you take care of my mind, take care of you. Then the mind there, at the heart there, it makes you aware. You know? Every moment, you know, by itself, you know, the awareness come out. Aware. Then I realize, everything also, I can be aware. Then I don't think. You know? Then later on, I relax into it, then I settle down. Then everything become like a continuous flow, you know? like a stream of, it's just like the water from the tap, initially one drip. Then after a while, only another drip. Then the drip build up. But when you develop until the continuity, then that drip become like the gaps less already. Then drip, 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 drip. Then until finally it becomes a flow. That is the continuous mindfulness. Because the mindfulness has stabilized until the mind enters sati. Then that mindfulness or awareness or sati flow in you. Means everything you do is in sati. Seeing is Insert hearing is inserted smell, taste, tactile, or any kaya activity or movement. The awareness and the kaya move as one. Then you realize everything you see, the phenomena and the awareness move as one. Then everything become like within your field of vision, hearing everything through your senses, is all one with your awareness. You have to develop it, and it can be done. Well, I have done it. Yeah. So initially, don't worry about whether you can do like Alicia there. Well, they have done it. They have trained. Even PG there, they have trained. Yeah. And many other kayamita. So for you, you determine it can be done. Because when you determine to be aware, you realize you can hardly be aware. That is the beginning of it. Then you determine. Determine. Every time lost in thought, determine to be aware again. Then later on, you realize you can be more and more aware until the awareness build up. Every time, return to your heart. Away from the heart. Away, away, away. Yeah. Then when you meditate, also relax, maintain awareness, silent, stay at the heart. Yeah. To stabilize all this. You have to do it. Yeah. When you do it, it will come on when you are determined. For me, I remember within 2 weeks, the whole thing came to me. Yeah. Then I realized it was so beautiful. So after that, I start to understand what the real sati is. Yeah. The real sati is not what people verbalize or through the knowledge try to interpret and look for all the book knowledge to define. No, nothing. That's why when you develop until the sati come, you will know it. Well, that sati is part of you. Everything you do is in sati. You know? Then you know what that sati is. But that sati is just an awareness. The awareness is one with everything that you perceive through your senses. Yeah. Whether your kaya or your feeling or your thought process or whatever, through your senses. Yeah. You will see that one. And you will understand them. That's why this awareness-based meditation, the formal meditation, where you stabilize it, then when you come out of it, you develop the daily mindfulness to complement, then that whole thing transforms into a complete movement, which we call the Sati Sampajana movement, means daily mindfulness. Mindfulness with clear comprehension of all action, all movement in the present moment. Yeah. Once that one arises, you will progress very fast. You become very different. I realize most people didn't do that part. Yeah. And most Kayamita who did it have a religious routine, do the former, follow by the daily mindfulness, then they get it, they transform. Yeah. You just follow simple instruction, it will come.
Yeah, bro, 就我忽然间觉得 determine 这个字很重要.
Yeah, very important. Then you can find out one whether you are able to be aware for how long in a day. Most of the time, split second, I remember the early day. Wow, within a few seconds, 1 or 2 seconds sometimes, the awareness gone already. Lost in thought already. Until later. When I determine that, I have more and more moment of awareness, aware. That's why the awareness kept me in that position. But at that time, I didn't know how to detect the gateway and let it melt inside. That's why my energy build up at my heart area. So initially, your energy build up at your heart area. Never mind. Then you return your awareness energy there. And there is no outlet. That's why it cannot like melt into the nature, become pure energy to transform inside. But later on, when you stabilize already, you relax and silent, the force support will come. Then you will detect the gateway. Then like Pocheng they all and even Alicia they all, they know how to go in. They just relax, silent, then it went in already. Then a lot of things will happen when it transforms. Okay? So have faith.
Yeah, bro, determine. 真的是要我们自己去做。
Yeah.
no effort, no harvesting.
Correct. There are no thought involved. It's just that awareness that is aware, determined to be aware. Every time if the thought take over and you become heedless or lost in thought, determined to be aware, come back. The very moment you are aware that you are not aware, there is awareness. So Krishnamurti used a different word. He said, when you are aware of inattention, when you are not paying attention, means heedless already, there is attention, is it? The moment you are aware that you are not paying attention, that itself is attention. So determine and continuously develop it until throughout the day, most of the time you just aware. Then now with the understanding of the four support, it's very easy. Relax, maintain awareness, and silence everything and just let it happen. Then you go in very far. You will detect the gateway very fast. Then you will stabilize your sati and awareness very fast. You all have to do it, really, to progress.
Actually, a few days ago, sometimes in the morning, 6 o'clock, I go for a morning exercise. Everybody lying on the basketball field. And we take turn. Sometimes these friends take turn. We will do the counting of 1 to 10, then 10, 9, you know, coming back. So sometimes, most of the time, I'm not doing the shouting, right? Sometimes I also have to do the counting. When you're not doing counting, you do the movement, right? It's an exercise for core muscles of the body.
In fact, you don't have to count. You just do.
Yes.
Do until your body and mind become one, like Tai Chi. Mindfulness will come.
Sometimes, also a few days ago, I was telling myself, people go and count, I just
no
do.
Need. Ah, no mm. need. You mm. just mm. relax and silent everything. Just awareness and the movement as one.
So I think two few days ago, the encounter is, I suddenly realized, because the shouting friends is from far from my right side. But I hear my left ear inside the drum, when the friend say 10, 9, 8, you know, counting, you know, whatever. When she shout a number, numeric number, I can hear my left ear drum. Actually, sound comes from right side. She is far right.
Yeah.
I can hear my left drum, boom. Then she's mentioned a digit again, my ear on the drum, inside like a drum, boom, you know.
That is the vibration, like a drum, it vibrates.
Yes, it was like that for 10 seconds or so. So every time she shout a number, I can hear my ear.
When you hear, you silence everything and don't try to perceive that direct seeing. This is direct hearing. Means you hear things as they are without the perception and the word. Learn to hear with the silent mind. Like seeing without the word, without the perception, seeing things as they are. Hearing also, hearing things as they are. Means no word, no perception, nothing. Just that vibration. No words on. Although I use the word vibration, but that thing there, you cannot describe. Learn to be with that. Then, as you develop more and more of this, then you start to understand the teaching. You start to understand what Krishnamurti and the Buddha meant by seeing things as they are. Means in the seeing is just a seeing consciousness. In the hearing is just a hearing, right? Just that consciousness that arises. The awareness that is aware of that thing is not a word. It's not a concept. It's not a idea or whatever. It's just that thing as it is. So you learn to pick all those things up. Then later on, when your sati come, you will understand what the Buddha is trying to explain, what J. Krishnamurti is trying to explain, and what my words are. You will understand. Okay, you give it a try.
Yeah.
Don't try to analyze too much.
just a very loud boom.
Never mind. That one, forget about the words. Don't try to label it or what. Just silence everything and stay with it. Then let the listening, the art of listening or the art of hearing, let it manifest on its own. Because the art of listening is to listen without the words, without your memory, your perception, your views, your opinion. But this one come in and interfere. That's why he will start to describe the right eardrum, left ear. Forget about it. The real listening is without word one. You try to develop more and more understanding of the direct perception. Means seeing only. No one to see, no description, nothing. Hearing. Tactile, just that thing. Of course, later on when you need to describe it, you need to use word. But when you are in the awareness, you can hear that thing as it is, without the word. And it's so beautiful. And everything is just like a flow. Like the awareness nature is just aware. It keep on aware. It don't register and don't always say. Of course, it can recollect if it wants, because you have been aware. When you're aware, you can recollect one. But in that process of awareness, your brain or your what they call that brain activity up there is very, very light one. That like not holding on to anything one. No grasping, nothing one. It's just the awareness nature. But the moment you start to grab, swing, and do all the funny thing, then you realize there is tension, there is tightness, there is stress, then the fear, the worry, the emotion, the stirring of the mind, everything, the sankhara activity, the mind state, very active at your brain there, the memory there. The mindfulness can see by itself. Then you come to know who are you, what are you, how you stir your mind, how you develop all this entanglement, how sankhara lead to dukkha. Sabbe sankhara anicchang, sabbe sankhara dukkang. You start to understand them. Where you see happening inside them. But you must have mindfulness first. Okay? More important, develop the mindfulness. Simple.
Yeah, brother. Sadhu.
Yeah, sadhu. So you give it a try.
Yeah, brother, 每次那些 我们的 sister brother very advanced stage 的讲那一句话 wonderful and amazing. 我觉得真的是应该是这两句话.
对, wonderful and amazing.
Wonderful and amazing. Alicia 每次讲很 amazing.
Yeah, 不可思议.
Yes. Yeah, 我觉得应该真的是
Because inside there is so different from your nature. It's not of the mundane activity and mind. It's that understanding that give rise to that understanding, that make it so amazing. So
神奇,
he used the word
不可思议, it's like unbelievable, right?
Unbelievable, but it's really
it's
amazing.
Real, it's true.
So
then, brother Alicia 最近也有讲一句话吗? Beautiful in the beginning, beautiful
in the middle, and at the end.
Beautiful at the end.
After you realize the Dhamma, you realize every moment is like that one. Before, during, and after. Because that is the way Dhamma is. Dhamma is just the truth that can explain the way things are. And the way things are is harmony. Without resistance, no resistance. No resistance means no conflict, no stress, no effort, nothing. It just flow. Everything flow. That's why there is harmony. 自在. That's why 观自在菩萨. So all these are in the Heart Sutta, very beautifully word. 自在菩萨. Means that being is very, very at ease. And then you have the wisdom and you can be at ease so that everything is wonderful. Everything is beautiful, amazing. Then life becomes beautiful, meaningful. Very good. You bring about a good condition for many other paramita to develop the faith and the understanding to that. For you, you must try it until it
like
it. Then I will sadhu you.
Brother, we can feel that PG Jui, I mean, before she went back to Penang, she had those sharings.
Yeah.
You can see that she now seems like, 越来越有faith，越来越相信啊, it happened on her, like she say, when the thing fell in the house, she say, oh, no complaint, just say, oh, the thing broken already.
Have the understanding one, to accept the way things are. You cannot react and become like bosong, you know, cannot already. Let the mind understand already. Completely different already.
Yeah, 真的是 very 很佩服他们这些人。你也做得到的,
not a problem. Even Asong, they also can do it.
Asong讲他 driving, 然后就要看到那个叶子这样飘过他汽车前面。
All this can manifest when you develop the understanding. The most important is sati, mindfulness. It must come. Then the reflection, the contemplation, the inquiry. Then constantly listening to the Dhamma. That's why the 10 step of Avijja Sutta, the first 5 steps, very important. Until the Yoniso Manasikara come, the Sati Sampajana come. So all these are the pointer towards progress. And that is the guide for cultivation. The Avijja Sutta, very easy and very direct. So first is the Kayamita you already have. Constantly listening to Dhamma, most of you all have already, except you have to reflect, contemplate, and what they call inquire deep into it to understand it, then do it correctly until the daily mindfulness comes. Then your faith in the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha, the step three, become unshakable. Because after you constantly listen to the Dhamma, which is step two, the third one, faith in the Buddha Dhamma and Sangha, is very important, like what PG they all go through. And last time, Bhushan they also. When the faith is there, you progress very fast. Then after that, your contemplative wisdom will come. Step four, Yoniso Manasikara, means initial wisdom at the moment of sense experience. They will prompt you. They will prompt. Then you realize you stir your mind less already. Your reaction to sense experience less already. Most of the thing you can be at peace already. 你能够接受了, you can accept them for what they are. And that is step four. Step four is very important. Then once step four come in, you do your daily mindfulness. Step five will come, sati sampajana. Mindfulness and clear comprehension of all things, all action in the present moment. So when that one come, you already home already. Means you become heedful already. Throughout the day, you are aware most of the time. Then from there, you realize, one day, you can become like PG they are. You cannot like react already. You can, no matter how bad the thing is, you can accept already. Even the sister, what already, Ingby's friend, Cindy Shaw. She like completely transformed until she also find it strange, because she was not like that one. But after she developed the Dhamma understanding, the daily mindfulness, then she realized she becomes so different. So it's like you mentioned, PG, when something broke or whatnot, it doesn't affect her anymore. Means the mind does not stir or become like affected by whatever happened in the existential world, the phenomenal world, cannot affect them anymore. So by then you would have the step six sense restraint. Means your senses is already restrained because of the initial wisdom, yearning, so on, and your daily mindfulness is so stable, sati sambhajana. So sense restraint means your precept is in order already. You cannot break already. Means that time you already beyond the first stage of sainthood. Then after that, you cultivate the three right conduct, following the Noble Eightfold Path, right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, and the four right effort. Then from there, you realize, after you have the three way of right conduct, you become very different, you transform again. Then after that, only you develop the four foundation of mindfulness, which you will understand very easily. Because after you have step six and seven, step eight, which is the four foundation of mindfulness cultivation, become a natural consequence and very easy to develop. Okay? So today, good enough for you.
Yes, I do. Thank you very much.
Okay, so thank you for creating the convenience. Let us rejoice.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Okay, we share merit then. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditva chiravakanta lokasasana etta vata chamvehi sampadam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya idam me nyatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idam me nyatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idam me nyatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo devo asatukarena sasa sampati heto cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bhava samagamo sakam samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can now be respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and the worthy one. Amen. Thank you.